Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
How incredible was it to see from our kids' church leaders themselves how awesome it is to serve at Kids Church. I want to just echo what they say and encourage you to serve at Kids Church. I serve at Kids Church, right, with the Elevate team. Give it up for Elevate team. Woo! Yeah, it is indeed the best place to be on a Sunday. It is the best team to serve at as well, because you get to see the rewards of your serving. I mean, it is years later, but you still get to see it. So make sure after the service to sign up for the Kids Church team. Awesome. Well, today it is my absolute privilege to share God's word with us today. But before I do that, I just want to give honor where honor is due and thank our incredible pastors, Pastor V and Pastor Candace, in her absence, for giving me the privilege to share God's word today. I do not take this privilege lightly. It is big, and I'm super, super grateful for it. Well, here at church, we pray first, right? Because prayer changes everything. And so right now, that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm going to ask us all to please stand as I pray and commit this word to God. Father God, today I just want to firstly thank you for the word that you have placed in my heart. So I want to ask that you would help all of us here today, not only hear this message, Lord, but would we hear it, understand it, and apply it in our lives. In your most gracious and powerful name I pray, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may all grab your seats. Well, today, to kick us off, we're going to take a journey down memory lane. Memory lane. I was 12 years old. I was living with my granny back in Eastern Cape. It was so fun. And this one glorious day, and when I say glorious, I indeed mean glorious. My granny was like to me, I think I had just passed actually, which is why she did it. Anyway, she was like to me, you can go to town and go buy pizza. I was like, this woman is after my own heart. Now, what you need to know, church, is I am gaga for food. Like, apart from Jesus, food is my one true soulmate. And I mean, you know, there's nothing I love more than than food. I mean, you can't tell by how skinny I am, but I do love it, right? And so when my granny said I could go buy food, I was like, oh, yes. So I didn't hesitate. I got out into the streets, waited for a taxi, got into a taxi, and the journey took forever, obviously, because I'm on my way to greatness, and here I am having to wait. But when I finally got to town, I rushed and made my way to Debonairs. Now, again, this is in Eastern Cape, in a very small town, so there is no romance, so do not judge me, okay? I was just happy it was pizza. So I make my way to Debonairs Pizza, and when I get there, in my then cute 12-year-old voice, I say, one small triple-deck pizza, please. And I paid for my order, happiness, I was chilling, waiting for them to call my order. They call my order up, I go to the lady, and she gives me a triple-deck pizza, large. Now, I paid. I know this. I know I paid and ordered a small triple-deck pizza. But when she gave me a large one, I asked no questions. I didn't even say, are you sure? No, no, no. I grabbed it, and I made a run for it. I have never run so fast in my life. I ran. I didn't stop. Like, I felt like the robots were just trying to... I wasn't waiting for robots. I got to the taxi rank, made my way into the taxi, like, can this taxi go? Can it go? Someone is after me. I'm sure of it. I need us to be gone. They didn't catch me. I made my way home. I was like, granny, look, it's large. She didn't notice because she didn't know whether it was going to be small or big because she just gave me enough money because I said I need pizza. Well, I told her the amount, right? So I get home, we have ourselves a large triple deck pizza. Now, before you judge me, I repeat, I was 12. Okay, I have come a long way since then. I mean, I am on church staff, so you would hope I have come a long way. But apart from just being 12, right, I also had no relationship with Jesus. I mean, I knew of him, but I didn't go to church. I probably went to church like once a year, and that was like Easter. Heck, I didn't even own a Bible. I wasn't praying. I wasn't worshiping. I was just being. And so, of course, when an opportunity came for me to be like Jesus, I did the exact opposite because I did not know him. And it's the same with us, church. You see, we cannot become like Jesus if we do not spend time with him. Because here's this thing, church, we become who we spend time with. And so as we spend time with Jesus, we start to become like him. See, church, when we are born, all of us, because we were all born, we are like this empty glass, right? And the world is the first to offer us with stuff to fill our empty glass. And so many, like 12-year-old me, take this offer. But now the world is filthy. And so it fills us with its filth. And next thing you know, you are a filthy glass of water. And without Jesus, we remain that filthy. And you see, when Jesus was born, he too was an empty glass. But he knew that he wanted to fill his glass with God because he wanted to become like God. And so from a young age, he chose God. He spent time with God. Countless times in the Bible and reading it, you find out that Jesus often withdrew from the crowd, from his own disciples, from his own parents, his own family, to spend time with God. There's many scriptures that depict it, but today I'm just going to read from Luke 5, verse 16. And it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see, church, Jesus spent time with the Father, and so he became like the Father. Let's have a listen to what John 17, verse 21 says. It says, and it's Jesus speaking, he says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world would believe that you sent me. Jesus became who he spent time with. He spent time with the Father, so he became like the Father. And it's the same with us. When we spend time with Jesus, we become like Jesus. The order of that matters. We cannot become like somebody we don't know. And we cannot know somebody we don't spend time with. And so it's important to spend time with Jesus. We become who we spend time with. So who do you spend your time with, church? Who do you spend most of your time with? Jesus withdrew from his own family. I'm sure if he had kids, Jesus would have withdrew from his kids. If he had a wife, he would withdraw from his wife. He withdrew from the crowd to be with the Father. We should do the same. We need to spend time with Jesus so that we can become like him. Because that is the bottom line. We become who we spend time with. You see, last year when I turned 20, that is how young I am, just 20. I do not need a guy for us to be, just yes. I need to spend more time with Jesus more. Right, so what happened last year is my mom and I went to the mall to buy me clothes. That was great, happiness, but not so great because I had to pay for my own clothes, so that's nice being an adult and all. Right, so we got some mall, we got some clothes, and we were buying, getting, choosing stuff. Then my mom was like, yo, can we also get an umbrella? And I mean, this is my mom. She has done everything for me for my life, so the least I could do was buy her an umbrella. So of course, I said, yes, let's get you an umbrella, lady. And then we make our way to the till. We're carrying a lot of stuff, so I put the umbrella in, like, my armpit, and then I forgot about it. The till lady didn't see it, right? So I pay for my clothes, and we make our way out. And as you walk in, my mom's like, yo. Yeah, my mom says, yo. She's cool. She's like, you forgot to pay for the umbrella. And I did not hesitate, not even once. I made my way for the door. Now, I know what you're thinking. You think I made my way out the mall. No, that was 12-year-old me, okay? This time, I made my way back to the shop. I explained to the guy I forgot to pay for the umbrella, and I paid. You see, church, the difference between 12-year-old me and 20-year-old me was not just my age. The difference was the amount of time I was spending with Jesus. You see, at 12, I knew of him. I knew I loved him. I mean, of course, Jesus. But I wasn't spending time with him. I went to church when it was convenient for me or my family. I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't praying. But at 20, I'd actively made a decision to follow Jesus. I actively made a decision every morning to spend time with Jesus. I read my Bible. I made sure I have a Bible to begin with. I got here at church, just so you know. When I got saved, I went to the prayer room. They gave me a Bible. Yay! But I was worshiping in more ways than one. I was singing songs of praise. I was being obedient to him. I was listening out for his voice. And that is why doing the right thing when the time came felt natural. I didn't have to stop and think, what would Jesus do? No, I knew it and I did it. But that only happened because I was spending time with Jesus. I'd become like him, and so I did what he would do. Now, I don't share this story to tell you that I've perfected or mastered this becoming like Jesus thing or doing what he did, because I have not. But I tell it to show what happens when we spend time with Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus, we become like him, so much so that his nature becomes our nature. We become more generous. We become more caring. We become more kind. We become slower to anger, slower to speak. We listen. We love. When we spend time with Jesus, we become like Jesus. We are able to put others' needs before our own. That's the power of spending time with Jesus. Let's get back to our class. So as I said, all of us are this filthy class because the world has filled us with this filth, right? But Jesus is pure, and he's like this clean jar of water. And as we spend time with him, as we pray, as we read our Bibles, as we come to church every Sunday, as we come to youth every Friday, as we bring our kids to youth every Friday, as we bring our kids to kids' church, as we let our kids go to youth camp, and as they go to youth camp, we become like Jesus. We go from filthy to clean. But that only happens when we spend time with Jesus. He fills us with more of who he is. And we start to become more like him. So, just in case you missed it, this is my main point. We become who we spend time with. So let's spend time with Jesus. I'm now going to hand over to Heinrich, who is going to further explain what spending time with Jesus looks like and does for us. Can we all stand and please welcome up Hein.
Come on, so good. Thanks, Afiwe. We become who we spend time with. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit old for, you can say something, I feel a little bit old for like a next-gen service because you saw these guys up here, you know, they're doing their things. Like, was there a rope or something? I stopped turning and I saw some of us weren't even trying. We're just like, okay, this is as far as my skill goes. But isn't it great to see what's happening in other ministries, eh? Isn't it great to know that our kids and our teens are encountering Jesus on a weekly basis? What a privilege. You can take your seats for a moment. And, you know, I'm going to unpack a little bit more now what Apiwe spoke about. And I'm going to unpack more what spending time with Jesus does for us, but also what can we do to actually do that. Now, I thought the best way to do that for you today and for us today is to actually do what I was called to do, okay? My ultimate purpose in life. And you know, since I was 9 years old, I knew what my ultimate goal in life was. I knew what my destiny was. I knew what my purpose was in life. I knew I was going to be super talented in this area, and I knew I was meant for this. Because at the age of 9, my dad handed me a set of Bright Tongues. Thank you, I'll be here all week. And I knew, you were just going to the bathroom for a toilet break. He just gave it to me to hold it, not to do anything. But I knew in that moment, this is magic. And then she was going to be the one for me for the rest of my life. I only married Kristen because she allows me to braai. Now, who here was with me know that braai is one of the best things you can do. It's amazing. Even though I'm super average at it, I love it. No family day is complete without a braai. All right? Who here loves braai? Just show me your hands. All right. Now, can I ask something quickly? Loud and proud, please. You can shout if you want to. Who here braais with gas? Okay, just show me hands, show me hands, show me hands. All right, our prayer room's over there. We'd like to pray for you afterwards and just release you from the evil spirits that is in your household. But anyway, so what we used to do, though, is we used to bribe with wood. Come on, anybody, right there. We used to bribe wood. And the nice thing is, like, you would wait for the wood to make coals, and you put your grid over, and you'd bry. But then afterwards, you take the grid off, and you put more logs on, and you add more logs. And you have an amazing night till late. You're partying, you're jolling. It's amazing. It's great. But then the next morning, even better, we wanted to start fire again to make breakfast. Anybody else out there? Can you just see online? Anybody? Okay. So what you do then is, instead of using fire lighters again and whatever, you just pack a few logs again. And a few twigs and a few leaves. And all you do is you just, you blow. And I was even like, I mean, this fire is so cold, I can pick up some of the ash. It's not even warm, but I'll just keep on blowing. I can even pick up some of the coals because they're covered in ash. But doesn't matter, I just kept on blowing. And before you knew it, this fire ignited. Without fire lighters, without anything, and it just caught a light. And that's what spending time with Jesus is like for us. It's exactly the same thing. You see, we have purposes and plans and in our hearts and a destiny that God has for us, a plan for our lives. And like many things, like all the talents and stuff we had, they are covered by a multitude of things. There's like ash covering the coals of our lives, of our talents and our gifts. For instance, our busyness. Our busyness affects how warm these talents are in our lives or not. Our laziness. Our tiredness in the morning to actually spend time with God. Our worries, our fears, our insecurities. All the purposes that God has for us is covered by these things. And if we're not careful, they'll never ignite. And spending time with Jesus is exactly that. Spending time with Jesus is allowing His breath to blow on our lives. I may still be busy, but I'm going to make time for Jesus. And I just allow Jesus to blow in my life. And all of a sudden, the busy schedule is still there, but I feel a little bit more secure in it. I feel a little bit less running around in it. I might feel a little bit tired or insecure, but I just allow Jesus to blow into my life, and I feel a little bit more grounded. I'm tired in the morning. I don't want to wake up. It's winter, Jesus, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm to breathe into my life. And if we do it day in and day out, every single day, maybe not next week, maybe not next month, maybe in 6 months' time, but all of a sudden, something's going to ignite in my heart. The coals in my heart is going to take a light. They're going to set on fire, and I'm going to see the earth around me change for the purposes of Jesus, because that's what He does when He allows His breath to pull into our hearts. Spending time with Jesus allows God's breath to come into our hearts. And that is what it does for us today. It is literally God's breath coming to us every time we spend time with Him. And I'm not making this up, because 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17 says this: all scripture is what? God breathed. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, spending time with Jesus is literally God's breath. Reading His word is literally God's breath coming into hearts, stirring something in us. And something happens in my heart. And I might, right now, you might be sitting and you feel like, I don't have a plan. I don't have a purpose that God has me. I'm telling you, as you spend time with God, something's going to happen. As you spend time with God, our hearts just set alight and set on fire, and we see the world change for Jesus around us. Have you ever met people who are just so on fire for Jesus? You're like, wow, if I could be like them, my world would change. And you think, wow, they're incredible. They're so amazing. Those people did not decide to get excited about Jesus magically one day. What happened was, is day in and day out, they spent time with Jesus. They read His word. They let Him speak to them. And before you know it, over a set time, those calls that were dormant, those calls that were called, those calls that could be picked up and thrown around by people can no longer be touched. Why? Because they're on fire for the purposes of Jesus. And Jesus wants that for you, and He wants that for me. So how do we do it? If it's so important, how can I actually physically decide to spend time with God? What are the things that I can actually do? So today I want to just suggest a few things for us. And I really hope and pray this helps someone. If you have your own way of doing it, stick with it. It's amazing. It's cool. But I really hope that I just want to suggest something that maybe we all can take something from this and just apply it to our lives and see God's word fan into flame, a fire in our hearts for Him. Everyone cool? All right, so a few things that I do that I hope will be helpful to you. All right, firstly, the first thing I do is make an appointment. Make an appointment. And with your appointment, bring a journal with. All right, so in church as well, bring a journal with, take notes, because Pastor Byron says, as you take notes, you will go to heaven, straight up. So make an appointment, put it in your calendar, book it in, do what you got to do, but make that appointment. If it has to shift daily, then shift it into different time slots of day, but make an appointment. And honor it like you'd honor an appointment with your friends, with your spouse, and with a boss or CEO. Honor that appointment. Secondly, make a playlist. Make a playlist. So get a few worship songs that you love, that you enjoy, and invest into good earphones as well. And just all you do is just put your earphones on and listen to that playlist. As you spend time with God, listen to those songs the whole time. If you want chupa-chupa-chupa-chupa songs, you can have it on. That's great. But if you want more quiet songs, you're like me, a little bit older, you like to have a little bit more chilled, you want the songs, the keys, you know, do that. But make a playlist. And as you just listen to the songs, as they speak to you, write down what the songs are saying to you in this moment. But as you go and you listen to the music, the third thing you do is make a thankful list. Make a thankful list. Now, some days this is going to be the easiest thing ever. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And some days it's going to be the hardest thing that you can ever do. Because some days it's just hard to be thankful. We all go through dips. But what it does is when I force myself to do this, it forces me to actually put my heart in this space where I say, God, you know what? Things are tough, but you're still good. You're still amazing. I can still be thankful. I still love you. And it just gives our heart a bit of humility before we actually go into scripture. So make a thankful list. Write down every single day things you're thankful for. The fourth thing is make your requests known to him. Write down the things you're praying for. Pray for your kids. Pray for your job. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your kids' church leaders. But write down everyone you're praying for, all the things you're trusting God for. That's two things. Firstly, while it clears our mind, because you get to submit everything to Jesus' authority. That's the first thing it does. But secondly, what it also does is it just helps us to actually keep record of what we're praying for. Because in a few weeks' time, you're going to page back to these things, and you're going to be like, wow, God answered this prayer. And that is going to be like making a fire with a hairdryer. You're going to be so on fire. You can like melt steel in there because, wow, God answered my prayer. What an awesome thing. What an exciting thing. Like I prayed to someone that I can't see, but somehow things happened. That's just amazing. That's what God wants for us. So write down your prayer requests. You know how many prayers I've prayed that I've forgotten that Jesus answered? I have journals from when I was 16. I was like, sure, God, I never thanked you for that. And I wonder how much like passion I lost out on because I actually didn't take record of all the things I've been praying for. So make your requests known to him. Write it down. Write it down. And then as our heart is in humility because we said thank you to God, as our minds are clear because we made our requests known to him, now we go into scripture. And I just read scripture. And now go anywhere. Start anywhere. Doesn't matter where you start. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a great place to start. The Gospels, Jesus' story. Like, just start anywhere. And as you read Scripture, like, think, okay, this verse stands out for me. Write it down. Why does it stand out for me? What is it saying to me? Like, as you read, just keep writing stuff down that stands out for you. And I'd actually suggest, this is what I started doing because it helps me a lot, is actually read till something stands out. Otherwise, you just, okay, cool, I read my Bible. Tick the box. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some mornings I go, have you ever done that before? Like you're reading the Bible and you're like, see, read till something stands out. It's not just ticking a box. It's not about like making Jesus like you. You can't do that. It's about letting his breath come into your heart. And the only way for his breath to come into your heart is to actually know what you're reading. Don't just tick a box. So read scripture, start anywhere. And then the last thing that we do is, that I like to do is make practical conclusions. What is scripture saying to me today? What must I do practically? Everything has to be practical. Otherwise, where's the scripture going? The scripture has to turn into an action into my life today. So for instance, maybe it's to think less about something or to think more about something. Maybe it's to do something less or do something more. Maybe it's to let something go. Maybe it's to forgive someone. Doesn't matter what it is, make practical conclusions right then down. And then what you do is you pray, God, please help me put this action into my life. Like, God, I'm struggling with my anger today. I just read this morning and he said, I'm slow to anger. Please, Jesus, help me. You know I need help in this space. Taxi pulls over, you remember that scripture. slow to anger. Tehuta will be saved today. My ring will not hurt my hand today, in Jesus' name, because I'm punching Tehuta. Right, but make practical conclusions. As you do this daily, as we allow His breath to come into our hearts, slowly but surely, what seemed dead, what seemed far away, becomes a real, living, on fire relationship with Jesus. He literally becomes an intimate friend that walks close with you. No matter where you find yourself, through the darkest valley, Jesus is with me. At work, I'm stressed about a meeting. Jesus is with me. I know this because I know Jesus because I'm spending time with Him. Therefore, I know Him. I can trust Him. You can't trust someone you don't know. So as you spend time with Him, you'll get to know Him and you'll get to trust Him. And all of a sudden, things don't shake us as much as they used to anymore. Why? Because I'm on fire for Jesus. You can't touch these coals. You can't shift them around. Why? Because they're on fire for Jesus. So that's what it does for us, and that's how we can do it. So I really hope those are some practical things that we can take into our daily lives. The nice thing about this method is you can do it on an airplane, you can do it on a bus, you can do it in a lunch break quickly at work. Just put your headphones in, go into a silent place, but allow God's breath to come into our hearts. It turns a Sunday experience into an everyday experience. Jesus isn't some feeling on a Sunday anymore. He becomes an intimate friend with me every single day. I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon, and he says this. I really want us to take these words in. It says, have your heart right with Christ, and He will visit you often. And so, He'll turn your weekdays into Sundays, meals into sacraments, homes into temples, and earth into heaven. I want Jesus involved in every part of my life. There's some stuff that I'm like, yo, I need Him. I also don't want to just go out of this world not making a difference. And I know the only difference I can make that's worthy of making is a difference that Jesus wants to make. And the way to do it is not to memorize scripture and to preach. It is to spend time with Jesus and to allow His breath to come into our hearts. And today, that's the challenge for us. Every single day, allow His breath to come into our hearts. But before we can go any further, before we can actually action this stuff into our lives, before we can have Jesus as an intimate friend, we need to invite Him into our hearts first. That way that when I start reading His word, He's not some distant figure in the sky or whatever. He's someone who's in my heart. Jesus says that every single day He's knocking on the door of our hearts and He's waiting to come in. He's not going to force Himself in. He's just going to knock, and it's up to us to invite Him in. And that is our first step in our faith journey with Christ. That's our first step into becoming an intimate friend with Jesus. That's our first step to getting to know Jesus, is to invite Him into our hearts. And it's a great privilege and a great opportunity. And today, I want to give that opportunity to some people in this room today who may have never done that. Today is the day that Jesus brought you to church. You're not here by some fluke or someone's mistake. You were brought here by His divine intervention, by His divine love for you. And He wants to meet with you today. And right now, He's knocking on the door of your heart. You're watching online, He's knocking on the door of your heart. And today He has made a meeting with you, to encounter with you, to speak with you, to become an intimate friend with you. And today I want to give you that opportunity. And maybe you've done this before. Maybe you did this, you said, Johan, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 12 years old, but He feels far away. He feels distant. Actually, I haven't been coming to church for a while. But today Jesus is breathing His breath into your life, and He's saying, it's okay. What seems dead, I can bring back to life. What seems dead, I can ignite again. I can have a relationship with you again. I'm just knocking on the door of your heart. Invite me in. Three things happen when we invite Jesus into hearts. Firstly, our past is forgiven. We have a purpose for life, and we have a home in heaven. So my past is forgiven. I have a purposeful life right now, and I have a home in heaven, eternity secured. And today I want to give an opportunity to people to make this decision, to have your past forgiven, to have a purposeful life right now, and to have eternity secured in heaven with Jesus. So I'm going to ask everyone to just bow their eyes, bow their heads and close their eyes. And then I'm going to, in this moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. And I'm going to count to one, and I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. And it's not to embarrass you, it's not to call you out. I just want to see who you are so I can know who I'm praying for. But if you invite Jesus into your heart today, if you can feel His knocking on our heart, like the door of your heart. Today is the day that Jesus wants to come into your life and change everything for the rest of your life. So if that's you, I'm going to count to one, and this is your moment. This is your time to invite Jesus in. 3, 2, 1. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand wherever you are. Thank you. See under the back there. Thank you. Thank you. See under the back there. Anyone on a balcony? Just look. This is your moment of Jesus. Thank you on the left over here. Awesome stuff. Anyone else? Just invite Jesus in. This is your moment with Him. Anyone else? Awesome. Thank you at the back there. Awesome. So I want to pray for everyone who just put up their hands right now. And if you made a decision today, just pray, maybe pray your own prayer. Open up your heart to Jesus. Ask Him to come in. I'm just going to pray to give you some language to your prayer. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for all of us, God, who responded to You today, Jesus. Thank You, God, that You don't only love us, God, but You love us so much, God, that You don't allow us to stay where we are. You want to take us to You and closer to You. You want to help us to become more like You, God. So I pray for every single person, God, who's put up their hands, God. Today, God, we confess, God, that we are sinners, God, and we need Your forgiveness. So please forgive us of our sins. Today, God, we give our lives to You, God, and we ask, God, You help us, God, to live our lives full of purpose for You and for Your name for the rest of our days, Jesus. Till we one day see You in heaven, God, and celebrate with You. I thank You for every single person, God, who's put up their hands today. God, come and have Your way in their hearts. And may our lives look more like You and become more like You every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.